It's going to be a different day. So if you're a guest or you're watching online for the first time, it's going to be a little bit different because we are going to share some of our goals, our vision for 2021. And so I want you guys to hear that. That way we can be on the same page as a church. So I'm going to say this may not be the typical thing that I do, but maybe all you're like, yeah, that's pretty much you. So I don't know. But that's my little disclaimer just in case I need it. But anyway, here's a question, kind of a different question. Have you ever rear-ended anybody in your vehicle? Anybody? Don't be embarrassed. All right. Thank you, Jake. I've got to have water because sometimes I talk fast. I'm trying to slow down, you guys, but it doesn't always work very well, especially if I've had a lot of sugar and caffeine. So these have how did it happen? What's the typical reason that you rear-end somebody? Yeah, you're not paying attention, okay? Maybe you're looking somewhere else. I know sometimes in NASCAR you got to go three wide and race in your back of your rearview mirror, right? But if we rear end somebody, probably we're not looking where we're going, correct? And so that is that's difficult. And so here's another question. I know we have some hunters in here. I know Jake is a good archer. I know we've got some crossbow owners in here. I will not call them out. I know we got a lot of rifles. Have you guys ever hit a target that you've not been aiming at? Let me ask you that. Yeah. Now stop it. Stop it. We'll edit that later for the online. Okay. How did that happen? I will tell you, this went better in rehearsal. Missed your line. Okay, let me back up. Let me try that again. Church, I got a question for you. Do you usually hit a target you're not looking at? Thank you for that. You guys see how we did that? That was a whole class at Bible school years ago, how to recover when the crowd doesn't. No, that wasn't. I'm making up stuff. They don't teach you how to adapt when things go wrong. Right. Have you seen the illustrations before? Maybe the archer with blindfold and you got the person with the apple on their head. You're like, oh man. I don't know if I'd rather be the archer or the person with the apple. I don't know what is more horrific at that point. Okay. But what we want to do is we look forward to 2021. We want to set a target for us to shoot for, okay? We want to discuss some things that we believe the Lord has laid on our hearts. But we also want to make it clear to you kind of what we're shooting for this year, what we're dreaming for, okay? If you got a question during any part of this message, even if it's not typical, feel free to use our Cornerstone Connect number. You'll see it there. Feel free to use it. We'll text you back as soon as we can. But what I want to do is I want to go back real quick and review our 2020 goals. Now, 2020 was a weird year. Can you all agree to that? Yeah, it's a little bit different. Okay, for a lot of reasons. That's all right. It was different. Doesn't necessarily mean it was bad. You'd probably all say, yeah, some of it was bad. But I want to look at our four goals and just review them real quick because it's tempting sometimes if things don't go exactly how you've planned to just kind of ignore it, okay? We're just gonna ignore that and move on, all right? But what I want to do is I want to look at these and see how God showed up and was faithful, even if we didn't maybe hit all of our targets here, okay? So the first thing that we were praying for was church growth, kind of a no-brainer. Every church wants to grow, okay? And we had some targets for that. We did gain a few families. We did gain a few people, and I believe that more are on the way. Okay, we've even seen signs that God is dealing with people, telling them that this is the church they need to be a part of. So yes, we didn't hit a numerical number that we hit the COVID year. It'd be easy to make excuses, but guys, I believe God is still moving. God is drawing people here, and He's going to continue to do that, and we have seen some additions. And honestly, we've seen a nice rebound after COVID. A lot of churches didn't rebound like we did when they started meeting in person again. I've got a lot of friends in ministry. A lot of them are still like at 30%, 40%. And that is very common across the country. And we pretty much are close to our normal crowd, okay? And we're not quite there, but we're close. And so, you know, I think that's a blessing of the Lord that we were able to come back like we did. And some of it is you guys are just tough, I'm going to be honest, okay? You guys know you're tough? One, come on now. This could be some of the easiest stuff I ask you, right? This isn't even super deep. You know, my brother was texting me this morning. He sent me a picture. He's like, we canceled church today. And a good pastor would have had this ready. I'm sorry, you guys. And he sent me a picture of his front yard, had a dusting of snow on it, but his driveway and the road were clear. He lives in North Carolina. That's all the details I'll get. I know we're not big enough deal for this to get back to them like we're making. But I'm like, man, enjoy your time on the couch. And I sent him our weather forecast, you know, like a high of 5 today or whatever. And I also sent it to my buddy in Nashville just for fun because he thought it was cold there. But and I said, I'll probably have a normal crowd. And we pretty much do. So you guys are tough. You guys are rock stars. And so it's really nice not having to worry on Saturday morning, like, should I cancel church? And that really hasn't crossed my mind here. I've just told the board, you're going to have to let me know if it's too bad, because I'm going to assume everybody can get there regardless. So anyway, so Joanne, if it's too bad, you got to let me know, because otherwise we're going to do it. So even with this year, I've been very pleased. I feel how like the Lord has positioned us for 2021. And the next thing that we were praying for is we were praying for servants to rise, that people would take up leadership and volunteer positions in this church. And we've seen that. And I won't go into details to embarrass anybody. We had rebuilt our nursery team and our kids team before COVID hit. And we haven't quite rebuilt the kids team. We're halfway there, okay? We're doing it every other week. But guys, a lot of churches still aren't back even doing half of what they did before. And we're super close. Okay, and so we've seen that happen. All right, we prayed for leaders and gifts to emerge, and all of that kind of overlaps with our teams being fully staffed. And so we've seen gains in those areas. And here's another one. All right, if you're new, you'll enjoy this. If you remember on our banner just a week ago, contagious community. You didn't know I was prophetic, did you? Man, I was ahead of the curve on that. I didn't say COVID community, I said contagious. So we wanted 50% involvement in life groups, you know, and you can make statistics kind of tell whatever story you want. We don't have 50% of our people in a life group every week, but as I started counting people, we easily had 50% of the people at least come one time. And so I'm not trying to oversell that, but at least half our church has checked out life groups. And so I think that's a great start for a church that didn't have any life groups functioning at all, okay? I would have loved to seen us be at 2 life groups fully functioning now, okay? We just have 1, and that's okay. And so I'm going to be glass half full on this, all right? And so we appreciate those of you that have come out and hung out with us, and or even watching online or Multiply Monday videos. And so appreciate that. Multiplying leaders and groups, that'll happen, okay? That'll take time. Our next one, biblical generosity. Everybody's favorite topic, money. Jesus talked about it a lot because it's a reflection of the heart. But listen, we had a goal of monthly budget. We didn't make it. That's okay, all right? I want to tell you what I've seen, even though we didn't get to this $12,000 month. And we'll go into more detail for the members and those that really enjoy all this stuff. Man, we'll give you like paper with figures and stuff at our annual business meeting 2 weeks from today. But you know what I've seen that encouraged me? There are more people engaged in giving and giving regularly than when I came. And we've seen a vast improvement in that. Okay, I'm not the IRS. I'm not going to shake you down. I'm not going to send you something and say, hey, I think you're giving 7.2% of your tithes instead of a full 10%. Okay, that's not my job, all right? That's the Lord's job to talk to you about that, okay? But I have seen an increase in a consistency in giving that we didn't have just even beginning of last year. And so I really appreciate you guys stepping up and doing that. So again, this is where we didn't meet a goal that we wanted to, but we have seen progress towards this. And we're becoming a healthier church. We're becoming a healthier church in our giving. So I appreciate that. We wanted to give away 10% of what we brought in because we want to be a church that is generous. All right? Because I believe as we are generous, the Lord will bless us. We didn't make 10%. We are at about 5%. And I think that's a good step, church. Okay? And so 5% is better than 0. You understand that? And this church wasn't at 0. That's not what I'm trying to say. But we are going to keep going forward. We're going to give to missions. We're going to give outside of ourselves. And we wanted to restore some missions commitments to our South Dakota missionaries that we had to break because money was tight. And we've at least done that, okay? I believe it's 2 missionaries, so I'm not like, we restored commitments to 50 missionaries. Okay, there's not even 50 South Dakota missionaries. But we have restored some promises that we had to kind of push pause on. And so we have done that. And so I'm very, very proud of that. So even in one of the weirdest years, probably of all of our lives, okay, God was faithful to us. God's working. I've been telling you, God is kind of working beneath the soil, beneath the surface, even though we don't see it, okay? And even maybe we've seen glimpses of it, okay? But we can look back, even in last year, and we can see God's faithfulness. We can see Him working, all right? And I want to celebrate that because I can be very analytical, okay? Even when I study Scripture, man, I look for patterns, all right? That's just kind of like, I know you don't look at me and go, man, there's a brainiac. That guy loves him some Excel spreadsheets, okay? I actually do a little bit. I'm very multifaceted, if you guys didn't know that. Yes, I can rock the Chiefs t-shirt, all right? I can wear the one suit that I own because I'm a pastor. I got to have one, right? Okay, but I can look at this stuff and I can easily, because I'm an analytical person, I can easily go glass half empty if I'm not careful, okay? But here, see, Lord, you're working. This is glass half full. Okay, you're working. There's movement on these things, and God is moving us forward. And so, what does it do when we look back and we see God's hand, even if it's not exactly what we hoped or wished for? What does it do for us? It's not even what I'm going to teach about. This is like introduction. Okay, we'll be here for like 2 hours. Just get relaxed, people. I'll just talk faster. It's all right. I think I heard what you said, and I think you're right. It builds our faith. Because if God did everything exactly how we wanted it, when we wanted it, our faith would not be built. And we would think we could always tell God what to do, when that's not our job. Our job is to follow. And so when we look back, we can see Him working, we see Him moving, and our faith is built, because that's how He builds it, little by little. Okay? Little by little. And so we see God working. And so this is where I want to start this morning. This is our starting point, okay? Philippians chapter 3, we're just going to read a little bit of two verses here, and we're going to come back to this passage. This is kind of our launching pad this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, okay? This is modern-day Greece. This was a Roman community at the time. He says, in verse 13, he says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press toward the goal." He said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal. And listen, I'm not saying we need to forget 2020, but it's time to turn the page. Let's thank the Lord for what He did. Let's acknowledge what He did. But church, we're going to turn the page and we're going to go forward. And we're going to come back and get into the context of this just a little bit more. And as I prayed about this year, and as I was dreaming about the church, like just sort of this one word just kept coming to my mind. And it's what you see on the screen. It's like forward. Forward. Church, we're going to keep going forward. And this is a bonus. I'll give you, I don't know, I'll find something to give away. I'll give you a sticker or something. I don't know. Like you guys are in elementary and that's going to inspire you. Yes, we got to get that sticker. You know what? Remind me, somebody, I'm going to make some cornerstone stickers because I joke about that. I'm going to do that. Okay? Forward. How many remember the first sermon series I ever did here? Do you remember what it was called? To be honest, I don't expect you to, but if you do, I'm going to be really impressed. Oh, Linda, you're so close. You're going to get half a sticker. Okay, listen, it was a message that led into a series called Time to Move, and you're thinking of the right story. Yeah, like Time to Move, okay? And so this morning, I want to tell you, listen, church, we're going to keep going forward, all right? And as I prayed, I just kept hearing it. I was like, Lord, we're going to go forward, we're going to go forward. Because I read pastoral leadership articles and other things, and there's a lot of pastors in other places saying, we're never going back to normal. A lot of pastors are saying, even this is not going to happen anymore, even though we're doing it. And some are like, yeah, we'll get to some part of normal. It'll be back to normal. It'll be a hybrid. And listen, I'm here. What I'm going to tell you this morning is not a prediction, but I promise you, this is what we're going to do. No matter what church looks like, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, we're going to go forward. Okay? And we're going to go forward now based on what we know. And if it changes, man, we'll change with it. Okay? But we're going to go forward. Okay? Because doing nothing is not an option. Staying the same, right where we're at, that's not an option. Things are growing or they're dying. There's no middle. All right? And so, here's what I've got kind of on my heart for 2021. I'm going to want to go through these, and then I've got a couple points that I want to share with you. Okay? The first thing that we want to do as a church is Bible engagement. We want to help you guys engage your Bible. Now, this is going to sound very basic, all right? A couple things we got here is we want to develop an all-church Bible reading plan. Our goal is to have everybody in the Bible every day. And I've told you before, if you read zero out of your Bible every day, 1 minute is an improvement, all right? The temptation is to be super spiritual, think I need to read 30 minutes or 37 chapters. No, start with one, okay? You don't do anything else like that in your life, but we can over-spiritualize things. Like, we got to spend an hour with the Lord. That would be awesome. But if you're spending no time with the Lord, start with a minute, start with 5 minutes, okay? And again, life group attendance is part of that, all right? Just as we discuss Scripture and talk about it together and grow together, all right? So Bible engagement. Number two, prayer focus. Listen, we'd love to launch some prayer teams, not only for during service times, but during other times. We'd like to create more opportunities to pray on Sunday together and individually. All right? And we want to see an increase in our prayer gathering attendance. That's one reason we moved it to Monday night. I explained to the group that was there Monday some of our reasonings behind that. Okay? We even put in their hands, and I've got a few left over on the Connect counter out there. Better job of putting tools in people's hands when they come in on Monday night so they know what to expect from that time together. There's some individual time of prayer. There's some time of prayer together. And we maybe haven't communicated this as well as we should have. We're not going to make you pray out loud if you don't want to pray out loud. Okay? I know some have told us over the last several months, well, we're nervous to pray out loud in front of other people. And our response in our heads are like, well, we never told you you'd have to do that. Okay? But what I'm saying is we should have communicated that better. And so we want to create an environment, not just where the diehards come and pray, okay, but people that are wanting to learn how to pray and develop a lifestyle. This is what we want Monday nights to be. This is a starting point, okay? And we're going to try to get better at that and communicate that together. And so if you weren't here Monday, pick up one of these. And so it's part of what we want to do, okay? Family ministry. We need to expand our kids' ministry. Well, Jason, we don't have enough teachers now. I know, but we will. We need to expand our family ministry. We want to invest in marriage enrichment, okay? And we want to also continue to resource and equip parents of youth and kids. And you say, you know what? Well, what does all that look like? I don't know is the answer to some of those, to be honest with you. We have ideas for a lot of these. We have some things, but I don't want to come up here and give you a list of goals that I already know are going to happen and I already know how I'm going to do that because then there's no faith involved in those. Does that make sense? My goal is to wear a Chiefs t-shirt on a Sunday. Done. Man, I'm a great man of faith. And that's a miracle. All right? You guys see what I mean? Some of these we have an idea or at least, you know, some of them we're like, Lord, we know we need to do this, but we don't quite yet know how we are going to make that happen. Okay? And so you be praying for us. Okay, first impressions. Here we go, church. We need to replace our roof. It's original. Okay, we need to replace our roof. Our insurance is kind of putting a little pressure on us. Like, we don't want to cover that thing. That thing is old. We'll talk about that a lot more at annual business meetings. So if you get excited about shingles and stuff, hey, make sure you're there. All right, we want to build some classrooms. This overlaps with the family ministry. We need places to put kids if we had more kids. Right now, there are not. Okay? And then just kind of a general, we need to update and repair some of our interior and exterior. All right? And those are mostly minor things. And so we'll have more details as we go along with some of those. But listen, these are kind of our four categories as it pertains to going forward. Some areas we would like to go forward in 2021. Some areas we would like to make some progress. Okay? But really, these four categories could be broken down into two. And granted, there is some overlap, but I'm going to look at this first area that I want us to move forward in. And if you have your Bibles ready, we're going to get back to some scripture here. But the first area, and I really think Bible engagement and prayer could be categorized as we want to move forward in maturity. Okay? Maturity. And that's what Bible engagement and prayer really deal with growing in our maturity in the Lord. They both are important for us to be the people that the Lord wants us to be. Now here, I know what you're thinking, like, well, I didn't need to come to church for you to tell me I need to pray more and read my Bible more, right? And I get it, okay? You didn't need me to say that, probably. But I did, but I want to make that a goal for us, but also as a church to help equip you to do that more, right? If you don't have a habit of Bible reading, if you don't have a habit of prayer, we want to help you with that. We can't make you do it, just like parents, grandparents, you can't make your kids or grandkids do something. But I don't want to be guilty as a pastor of not doing everything I can to at least set you up. Does that make sense? Set you up. All right? And so, I want to read, we're going to back up in some of the scripture that we started. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read a little bit more. The Apostle Paul here is speaking. All right? And I believe this does speak to maturity. This speaks to his perspective in following Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Apostle Paul is writing. He's writing to a church. And here he's beginning to describe himself and what his priorities are as he is following Christ, as he is growing. He says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Listen, there's a lot of verses. And if you weren't following along, I know that's a lot to retain. But what Paul is saying is, my pursuit of Jesus, this new life in Christ, is everything to me. Everything I used to value, I consider, man, that's garbage in comparison. Okay, whatever I was running after before, whatever I was investing in before, whatever I was pursuing before, man, it's garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Man, I want to know Him above all other things. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Listen, we love to participate in the power of His resurrection, right? But we often want to avoid the fellowship of His sufferings. Okay? It's not an either or. When we follow Him all the way. But He said, man, I press on towards this goal of knowing Christ. I press on towards this goal of obtaining this eternal life that is provided by Christ Jesus. And so, yes, when we talk about Bible engagement, we talk about prayer. I know you guys know that. All right? But it might cost you rearranging your daily schedule. It might cost you a sacrifice of time or time doing a hobby, whatever that may be. But I pray that as a church that we can grow maturity and our attitude would be like, nothing else compares to knowing Jesus. That doesn't mean you have no other interest. That doesn't mean you're just sitting in your room all the time, all right? You've got worship music on in the background. You got your candles lit because that's, you know, I don't know. I don't like candles. Anyway, just, all right. And you've always got your Bible open and you never leave. You know, like, that's not what the Lord's calling us to, but it's got to be a priority. It's got to be maybe the thing we arrange our life around instead of saying, God, you can have my leftover time. You can have time if I have any leftover. Paul's saying, listen, this is all I want. And he speaks about maturity in Hebrews chapter 6. The verse 1, he says, "Let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." I want you to notice what he called elementary teachings. Okay? You might even go back and study that later. Underline it. Look at what he called elementary teachings. Elementary teaching about Christ. Taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Listen, these things he considered elementary. And just in case you're wondering, the cleansing rites had more to do with Jewish customs that were no longer necessary. But everything else there, it's like, man, this is foundational stuff. These are elementary teachings. And if you back up to the chapter before that, because you remember verses and chapter numbers are not divinely inspired. They were just to help us organize. If you look before that, he's talking about people that should be mature that aren't. People, he compared them to babies, and he wasn't insulting them. He was just painting a picture. You're still drinking milk when you should be eating meat at this point. Okay? And that's not me trying to call you babies, so don't leave. I know some of you are already on Twitter already going, okay, the pastor's calling us babies. It's not what I'm doing. Get off your Twitter, hashtag new pastor. Okay, stop that. And Paul wasn't trying to be insulting either. He was just saying, this is where you're at, and let's move forward. Okay? And so, listen, we need to move beyond where we're at as a church, and that is not insulting where we're at. What I'm saying is we continue to go forward, we continue to grow as a church and as families and individuals. And so that's what I want you to take from this, okay? And so our prayer is that as a church, we can help you better move forward in spiritual maturity. And before I move on to the next one, you guys, you need to understand this. God doesn't love you more if you're more mature. Do you understand that? Because often when we talk about these things, like, oh man, I didn't pray like I should have this week or at all. I didn't read my Bible. Like, God's mad at me. Listen, God doesn't love you more if you pray more. But what happens is you know him better, you're more effective for his kingdom, and he can bless you more when you're walking closer to him because he can trust you with more things. So listen, I would like to remove some guilt if you don't feel like you are disciplined as you should be. Our motives to not get more things from God or think that he loves us more. Our motive should be just we need to know him better because we want to be more effective for him. We want to be closer to him, right? Listen, some of you got a husband or wife you love dearly. But you go through periods where, you know what, maybe you're not as close as you were at other times. Or maybe you kind of go through ups and downs like some relationships do. Maybe your love is the same, but the closeness feels different. And even using human relationships with the Lord's feelings to us is very imperfect because he's so better at loving than we are. But maybe that'll help you kind of understand a little bit what I'm saying, okay? Listen, we've got to move forward in maturity. And he doesn't love us more, but we can be more effectively used by him if we continue to mature in our faith. And so I hope we can make that a prayer as our church, as individuals, as families. Like, Lord, continue to grow in us. Because here's what happens. If we move forward in maturity, we are more effective for his mission. And that's our second point. Okay, and I really could have grouped these last two under the mission. Right? Growing in our mission, being better equipped, better prepared to reach people that need Jesus. So when we talk about family ministry and first impressions, that's what I'm talking about. God has placed us here in this community, and he's placed you to reach people outside of these four walls. And if we can grow in these areas as a church, we'll be more effective to reach them when they come. Even though we know God has called us to reach people out there, at school, at work, in our neighborhoods. But as far as here, we have got to go forward in the areas of family ministry to be prepared as possible. Because here's what happens, church. A family comes up with multiple kids. They walk in this door, and the first thing they think of, because I'm telling you, that happened to us on our tryout Sunday. What do they have for my kids? Where do they go? We have a nursery. That sends a message that we don't want to send. Okay? And again, I'm not trying to be critical of whatever happened before. I wasn't here. I might have agreed with every decision that was made. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But right now, when families walk in, there's no place for kids to go. That's not a message that we want to send. Because sometimes as a church, we send a message and we communicate value or lack of value with other things. Okay? And it's going to sound like little things. You guys will think I'm nitpicking, but everything communicates value to people, okay? That's why we've done some of the things that we've done up here in the last year. And praise the Lord, we haven't paid for a dime of it. So talking about money, God blessed us to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars last year from outside money. For equipment, technology, just straight out anonymous donations to the church. The Lord blessed us last year in the midst of a COVID year, in the midst of our first full year, the Lord blessed us. And he's going to continue to do that. Because, you know, how many, and maybe you've done this as a parent before. I know parents that will go to church they don't like because their kids do. And I'm not saying that's right and that the kids should rule the house. But I'm just saying that it happens. Okay? It does. I would rather not be there, but my kids like it. Yeah. Kids probably shouldn't be in charge of the house, but I get it. And we can't assume everybody's making spiritually mature decisions, especially maybe they're not. I don't know. So we've got to be ready to minister to families, to new people, because we definitely don't want to send a message we don't want to send. Listen, I've been in a church where people wanted to, I've been in a couple of them actually, where people wanted to invite other people to church, but they were embarrassed about the building. Okay? And I don't think we have anything to be embarrassed about, for the record. I just think the kids' stuff we can improve. But I've been to churches where people are like, I would love, like, I mean, I love the pastor. And they're mostly older churches, but like, in the bathrooms stink. They're embarrassing. Okay? And I'm not saying our bathrooms stink a bit, but I'm just trying to paint a picture. People will make decisions of even whether they'll bring people based on stuff like that. So we just, this is kind of a generic statement. We're going to put our best foot forward. That's why we've done some of what we've done. It's kind of like grandma's house. And I've debated whether saying this. Grandma's, I don't want to make you mad at me, okay? Because two out of three of you really like me. But I'm just, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Do you remember as a kid? Because it's not you, it was your grandma. So that's, right? Does that make sense? Grandma or great-grandma, you know, you go to their house, and they have the strangest things, because stuff is old. You guys remember that? When you're kids, let's just pretend we're all kids. Pretend I'm not talking about you. All right? You go to grandma's house, everything's old, and it's just weird. It's like, oh, it's like an antique, you know, because when you're 9 or 10, something 20-plus years old is antique. You know, now you're like, man, there's a lot of life left to that. Right? And you get little kittens, salt and pepper shakers, you know, why would I get rid of that, you know? We don't want church to be like grandma's house, where you love it, but you wouldn't bring anybody else there, all right? And I don't think that's where we're at as a church, but I want you to understand that when it's ours, we can have blinders on where we don't notice things other people would. Does that make sense? And so that's why we've done even some of the little things we've done around here. Do you guys remember you used to have different hinges in this church when you came back from COVID? Did anybody even notice that? No. They used to all be brass. Now you're looking around like, see, stuff happened while we were away that if we put it back, you would notice. But a lot of you haven't even noticed it. It's like, yeah, okay. So that's what I'm talking about. We don't want to send a message that we don't mean to send. In church, I love, and I told you that one of that, and I think I was sitting right here, even during our Q&A when we tried out, I really liked the building, the potential of the building. I like a lot of things that had already been done. So this is not, okay, I said it's a blank slate in a good way. A lot of stuff had been done that's already stuff that I love that I would have done. And so this is, don't think I'm insulting you or okay, but it's just like, things we do, this is what I want the takeaway to be, are not always about us, but they're about people that will come. All right? Let me read a couple scriptures, maybe help you with this. All right? And I don't want to over-spiritualize hinges, okay? All right? But I want you to see the point that I'm trying to make, okay? Because I think there's a principle we can learn here. Acts chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. All right? It's the early church. And they're kind of figuring out how they're going to operate as a church. And it says here, it is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from the meat of strangled animals, from blood. Like, what does this world have to do with hinges? Did anybody think that, or did I just put that thought in your head now? Here's what I want you to see. This passage was about circumcision because some of the Jewish people that became followers of Jesus, they still wanted to keep their cultural habit of circumcising their males. Right? Because it was no longer necessary at this point since Jesus came. It was part of the Old Testament law, the ceremonial law, that was to signify an Israelite from the pagan nations around them. Okay? There were reasons why God gave them things back then, but the ceremonial law was done away with. All right? That was the forms and functions of worship. His morality was not done away with, okay? Come to life groups as we talk about that. But what this is talking about is saying, listen, that shouldn't be a requirement for somebody to follow Jesus now, because that was a cultural thing. That was a directive from the Lord for them, but that is not a directive now. But it was some of the new believers' preference. So this was about removing unnecessary barriers for people to come to Jesus. Gentiles were non-Jewish people that they were coming to the Lord. And listen, without being crude, that would be a hard sell if we tried to do that today. All right? And so as they're discussing the new church, they're like, yeah, we don't need to make it difficult for people to turn to the Lord by adding a preference or a custom that is no longer a directive of the Lord. And so what I'm saying, I'm not saying the Lord appeared to me and said, get rid of the brass hinges. Okay? But what I'm saying is, if we can remove an unnecessary barrier that is not, that doesn't have anything to do with morality, let's remove it. Okay? Often people will make judgments about whether they'll ever come back to church in the first few minutes of walking in. Okay? And so, listen, maybe this is a stretch, but I think the principle remains. Let's just remove any barrier we can. Let's remove it. Listen, if they don't like me, there's not a lot I can do about it. Okay? If they don't like our worship team, there's not a lot we can do about it. Okay? If we can pull seats out of the sanctuary that's got stains on them, let's do that. I've tried to do that to most of them. All right? Grandma's attic. Grandma's house. Okay? And again, I'm trying to paint a picture so you understand. I'm not. That sounds kind of critical. I'm not trying to be. So I hope you guys hear my heart. Let's remove any unnecessary barriers. Even though this custom for the Jewish people at one time was a directive from the Lord, it no longer was. Okay? And so let's remove unnecessary barriers. Let's be ready for people that want to come, that would like to be here. Let's be ready to minister to them. That doesn't mean we'll always do it perfect. Okay? That doesn't mean we're always going to have everything that everybody wants. Okay? We live in a consumer society. We can't make everybody happy. But if we want to reach all people of all ages, we've got to be ready for them to come. And we've got to have a place for them to go. And then we've got to remember that sometimes we will do stuff that's about other people. It's not about our preference. All right? Because preferences are not directives from the Lord. And some of you look nervous. I'm not going to lie, like you're gripping the seat, like I'm going to bring in a disco ball or something. No, this is... Like we're pretty well done in here, so I know, like, oh my goodness, what is he going to do next? A zip line from up there would be cool, but I don't think that's probably going to be helpful. Okay, so relax. I don't have a lot of crazy stuff. So this is it. I know some of you are concerned we put black paint on the wall, all right? Because black is the devil's color, right? I'm just kidding. No, not really. Color is not inherently evil or good, but anyway. So relax if you're afraid of what I'm going to say or do next. Listen, all I want to say is the point here: as we move forward in maturity, we move forward in missions. Let's remove barriers. Okay. Here's an example. I hate our handicap signs. I'm going to be honest with you; they blow over all the time. I hate them. You guys give more than an offering. I'm going to replace them. We'll talk about that a couple weeks at business meeting. I hate them because they're over half the time that sends a message to the community. And you may not even think about that. Again, kind of grandma's house. It's cool. It's ours. Sends a message. All right? So these are just little things, and I'm not determined to fix everything all at one time. That's not what I'm saying. Just little things. That's easy not to think about. And if you don't, that's okay. All right, I've only got new eyes for a little bit longer, and then I'm going to lose it. I'm going to need somebody else to come in and go, okay, what am I missing? Okay, your Chiefs t-shirt, it's turning people off. Sorry. Okay, does that make sense? So here's how we're going to conclude. Worship team, go ahead and come back up as I conclude. All right? Listen, I know it's been a little bit different of a message. We'll get back to our Kingdom Come series that we've been doing for several weeks. I believe we've got two more parts to that. Next couple weeks. So here's the question. As we talk about moving forward in maturity, moving forward with the mission of the Lord, here's the question. Like, how do we get there? How do we get there? What will it take? You know, in those are not all easy answers to give you, but here's what it'll take. In essence, to move forward in maturity, to move forward in our mission of the Lord, it's going to take discipline. And Paul writes about this in his first letter to the church at Corinth. And he compares this to a race, and some of you have heard this passage before. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he writes, he says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets a prize?" He says, "Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Says they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it," he's speaking about followers of Jesus, "we do it to get a crown that will last forever. There's an eternal reward. There's a heavenly reward for those who follow Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Verse 26, he says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He's using a picture here. He doesn't mean that he's self-flagellation. He's talking about discipline. He's talking about if I've got to sacrifice, if I've got to train, I'll do whatever I have to move forward with Jesus. I'll do whatever I have to move forward in his mission, to be the man that I've called to be. And in his case, he's saying, listen, I don't want to preach to others and tell them about Jesus and be disqualified myself. He says, I know that's going to take discipline. I know it's going to take discipline, not just to run, but to run with purpose and to run towards a target. There's pictures of a runner running aimlessly and a boxer beating the air. These are pictures to help his readers understand what he's talking about. Like, I got to run with purpose. I've got to have a target. Church, that's what we're talking about this morning. That we're going to go forward in 2021. We're going to have a target. And we're going to move forward with the Lord. And so this morning, listen, I know this is a little bit different. But as we enter into this time of worship, I just want you to respond to him. And I want you to ask the Lord, say, Lord, how do I need to be more disciplined in my life? If you're a follower of Jesus, ask him, say, Lord, how do I need to be more disciplined in my life? And you might even ask him, you write it down. Say, Lord, do I have a personal preference that I need to lay down for you? Okay? Is there part of my schedule I need to surrender to you? Whatever that looks like for you. And just allow the Lord to speak to you, okay? And listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, you're here, you're watching or listening online, I know this has been different, but I want to encourage you this morning, just as the worship team plays, if you don't know Jesus and you want to, fill out a Connect card. We'd love to talk to you. Or maybe you just have questions, maybe you're curious. We would love to talk to you as well. So when you're here in person or online, fill out a Connect card. We'll get a hold of you. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to pray for you, pray with you. And so I'm going to ask everyone to stand this morning. And the worship team is going to lead us in this song. We just encourage you. Ask the Lord what you need to do to respond to this message. Ask him areas that you can move closer to him in discipline. Okay, so let's do that this morning.